My name is Liz Kirkus from Catskill, and you're listening to WGXC Acra, Catskill, and Hudson.
If you're enjoying this show, that's great. But if you tune in during any given hour of WGXC music programming, you may hear obscure 60s pop or perhaps Scandinavian black metal, old-time country music, indie pop, or disco favorites. Whatever it is, familiar or brand new, I promise it will be unexpected and totally different from what you hear on commercial radio. Why is this? Because our WGXE DJs are fans, music writers, musicians, and more. They each bring unique interpretations of what makes good music into the booth for every broadcast. So don't expect to hear the same 50 songs playing all day, every day. Even if you don't always love what you hear, there's always the thrill of discovery. Have you ever heard a song on WGXE you would never hear anywhere else? What is it worth to have independent, rare, and unique music on the airwaves of Greene and Columbia counties? Support this uncommon variety by pledging your support. Tell us what you like and what you don't. Go online now at wgxc.org/donate or call me on the pledge line at 518-697-7400 to become a monthly supporter of the station now.
WGXE underwriting support is provided by Hilo Catskill, cafe, bar, art gallery, and performance space located at 365 Main Street, Catskill, New York. Waveform's WGXE is pleased to broadcast live from Hilo every Tuesday morning starting at 9 a.m. In addition, Hilo live events are streamed and broadcast in conjunction with the Waveform Radio Transmit Partner Program.
WGXE is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Lynn Sloniker of Hudson, New York. WGXE's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXE as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
Radio broadcast, This I Believe.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
Radio broadcast, This I Believe.
From the WGXE newsroom, this is the WGXE Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about anything you hear here.
Emilia Teasdale is reporting in the Columbia paper. Kinderhook Town Board member Patsy Leader said the town's community advisory group met June 3rd in Nassau about the newest cleanup efforts from the Dewey LaFell Superfund site, as well as an additional dumping site found on the LaFell family property. Leader said she sent representatives from the Kinderhook Lake Corporation, a nonprofit that owns and maintains the lake, to the meeting. She said the advisory group and the Federal Environmental Protection Agency are looking at where water is possibly impacted by the chemicals from the new site. Town Supervisor Pat Grattan said he had talked to the Columbia County Health Department about getting test kits to test water for contamination. Read the full story in the Columbia paper.
Sarah Trafton reports for Columbia Green Media that Coxsackie Town officials moved again to approve a very restrictive town law that bars development of most solar energy farms last week. The reason? They made some mistakes the first time and are now fixing them. Quote, we needed to do more thorough state environmental quality review, unquote, Town Supervisor Richard Hant said. At the same time, Coxsackie faces a lawsuit from a group that calls themselves Friends of Flint Mine Solar, 25 town residents who think the town law is illegal. The two sides have until June 28th to work out an agreement, or the case goes to court. Giuseppina Agovino, one of the residents suing the town, is hopeful that the two sides can reach an agreement. Quote, everyone in the community is trying to get on. unquote. Aguavina said, quote, "We're trying to find the best way to have solar and protect our community at the same time. That's what we'd like the town to understand. If we could find a suitable compromise to help everybody, that would be the best approach," unquote. Meanwhile, the town board waits for the Greene County Planning Board's take on the new law before voting again. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com.
The Greenville Pioneer is reporting Columbia Green Community College has announced it will waive tuition for some high school students taking college-level courses. To be eligible, the student must income qualify and meet certain academic requirements. Program begins with the 2019-20 school year. George Timmons, Ph.D., Vice President and Dean of Academic Affairs at the college, said the offering is designed to provide even greater access to higher education for a more diverse set of students. Timmons said, and I quote, "Getting an early start in college offers a competitive edge that is increasingly necessary in today's world, and this tuition waiver could help level the playing field," end quote. Students who meet the program's academic standards but fall outside of the income eligibility requirements for a tuition waiver may enroll in courses at a reduced tuition rate of $65 per credit hour, one-third of the standard in-state tuition rate. Read the full story in the Greenville Pioneer.
Nick Nedzierowicz and Bill Mahoney report for Politico that Democrats passed new rent laws June 14th, not just for New York City, but for the entire state. The Senate voted 36-26 for the new regulations, and the Assembly voted 95-41. Governor Andrew Cuomo signed the bill. Real estate lobbyists did everything they could to stop the bill. Quote, "I'm confident the measure passed today is the strongest possible set of reforms that the legislature was able to pass and are a major step forward for tenants across New York," unquote, Cuomo said. Republicans were upset at several parts of the bill, including allowing localities upstate to opt into rent regulation if they have a vacancy rate of below 5%. Quote, "Nobody I know is going to put money into a place where they will make less money," unquote, Senator Michael Raisenhofer said on the Senate floor. He also said he believes it, quote, "really does not provide any incentive to invest your money in older housing stock," unquote. Read more about this story at the Politico website.
MidHudsonNews.com is reporting the Dutchess County District Attorney's Office, the Poughkeepsie Police Department, and the County Probation Office have been awarded $343,000 by the State Department of Criminal Justice Services. The funds originate with the Gun Involved Violence Elimination Grant that provides the resources for involved agencies to devote more time to the investigation and prosecution of gun crimes and gun-related violence. District Attorney William Grady said, and I quote, "The focus of the grant is public safety, and this investment by the state has shown significant results. The latest statistics show that during the last 10 years of this program, violent crime has decreased 50%, firearm crimes have dropped 52%, and robberies have been reduced by 71%, end quote. Read the full story at MidHudsonNews.com.
Sean Mokurin reports in the Altamont Enterprise that a proposed law that would have required Albany County employers to provide paid sick time for their workers was voted down last week. 11 Democrats joined with 10 Republicans to vote down the proposal, 21-17. Under the law, workers would employed in Albany County for more than 80 hours in a calendar year would earn an hour of sick time for every 30 hours worked, capped at 40 hours. Businesses with six or more workers would have to pay the sick time, but companies with five or fewer employees would not. Mark Emmett Nation, a senior field coordinator for the Capital District Area Labor Federation, said, quote, "We believe that working people have the right, if they're sick, to take a day off," unquote. Most legislators, though, worried about driving local businesses to other counties. Westchester County and New York City have paid sick leave laws, but not the rest of the state. Read more about this story in the Altamont Enterprise.
Monsi Alvarado is reporting in the New Jersey Record. A report released June 12th by the Pew Research Center reported a strong drop in the number of Mexican-born people living undocumented in the United States. Mexicans without legal status no longer make up the majority of all people living undocumented, according to the study conducted by the nonpartisan think tank. Pew looked at population figures from 2007 to 2017. In 2017, Mexicans accounted for 20% of those who entered the U.S. unauthorized, compared with 52% in 2007. The report states, and I quote, "The number of Mexican unauthorized immigrants declined because more left the U.S. than arrived," end quote. The number of Mexican-born undocumented immigrants dropped by 2 million and was lower in 2017 than in any year since 2001, the report says. Pew found, and I quote, "This represents a decrease in the average annual inflow of Mexican unauthorized immigrants from about 370,000 per year in 2002 to 2007 to about 90,000 per year for 2012 and 2017, end quote. Read the story at LoHUD.com.
John W. Barry writes in the Poughkeepsie Journal that a bunch of recent films and TV shows are out soon, filmed in the Hudson Valley. The Dead Don't Die, filmed partially in Columbia County and other parts of the Hudson Valley, stars Bill Murray and Adam Driver, and was written and directed by part-time Ulster County resident Jim Jarmusch, and opened in theaters June 14th. Now, film backers locally say John Krasinski is returning to Dutchess County to film part of the sequel to the 2018 movie A Quiet Place there, and Mark Ruffalo has been filming an HBO limited series called I Know This Much Is True in the area this year. Quote, "That's quite a run," unquote, said Laurent Regdo, director of the Woodstock-based Hudson Valley Film Commission. Three other movies are set to begin production in the Hudson Valley in July and August, and Georgia's adoption of a restrictive abortion law has film crews boycotting that state, so they could find the Hudson Valley an alternate location. Amy Hutchins' casting in Rhinebeck, Ready to Serve Catering in Poughkeepsie, and the Terrapin Restaurant in Rhinebeck are three local businesses that benefited from the Dead Don't Die filming locally. In May, the full-length feature film A Deadly Legend was being shot at the Lumberyard in Catskill with Judd Hirsch, Laurie Petty, and Corbin Burnson. The Lumberyard is the only New York State-qualified purpose-built soundstage in Greene County. Read more about this story in the Poughkeepsie Journal.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day.
The National Weather Service in Albany predicts showers on Sunday, mainly before 3 p.m., with a high near 69, and a low around 58 Sunday night, with a slight chance of showers before 10 p.m., 30% chance. Monday should be partly sunny with a high near 75, a low around 59, and then showers return Tuesday. There is a 30% chance, with mostly cloudy skies, a high near 72 and a low around 59. You're listening to the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, radio for open ears.
90.7 on your FM dial, and you know, we are doing a pledge drive. And I know how much you love that. Believe me, we love it just as much as you do. I know I'm being sarcastic here, but truly, the only reason we're on the air and we're able to bring you this eclectic mix of music and subject matter is because of you, because of your contribution. And we're really looking for sustaining members. We have accrued quite a few over our last few pledge drives, and we need a few more. We're hoping you can become one of those. You have no idea how important it is to us to remain on the air, to have your support. So give us a call at 518-697-7400, or go to our website, wgxc.org/donate.
This is WGXC's Testify Pledge Drive, and we are asking you to call in with a pledge and tell us what you like and do not like about WGXC. Please call in at 518-697-7400 or go online to wgxc.org/donate. And testify about your favorite shows on WGXC or what you might like to hear on the radio. Give us a call, too, if you'd like to go on the air and have a say about any subject. But make that call and pledge your support today so that others can have a place to have their say on the radio tomorrow. Please help keep local radio alive with the voices of the folks who live here. and help out during the WGXC Testify Pledge Drive. Call 518-697-7400 or go online to wgxc.org/donate. Thanks for your support.
Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, Iqra, Catskill, and Hudson, listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Amelia. I'm a student at Hudson High School, and I'm also from Hudson.
And we're here every week talking about books.
Books we love, books we hate.
Bookish things.
Books.
All that good stuff. With our friends.
Mm-hmm.
Mashuda and Fahim, and sometimes some other friends as well.
They are unfortunately not here today.
Yes, we miss them. But we're here, and we are here in part to talk about books, and in part to talk about the wonderful WGXC and the Testify Pledge Drive.
Mm-hmm.
We, along with our fellow radio producers, are looking to raise funds for the radio station, help keep WGXC on the air. In particular, for this pledge drive, we are focused on securing 100 more sustaining supporters. As of June 1st, we had 152 monthly sustainers who contributed an average of $13.95 every month, providing $2,120 towards our goal of $5,000 a month.
Mm-hmm.
So we're looking for others that can join the sustaining supporter team.
Mm-hmm. It's for just 17 cents a day or $5 a month. You can become a WGXC monthly supporter and help sustain Creative Community Radio. Sustaining support would mean you give a specified amount each month to the station, and this predictable little revenue stream sustains us and allows us to concentrate more on radio and less on fundraising.
Yay!
So that we can talk about books more.
Yes! We love talking about books.
It's really easy to become a sustaining supporter. PayPal has a user-friendly portal where you can create your own login and password, which provides you with control over your monthly contribution. And you can give monthly using your credit card as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just cash.
It's true.
So you can help make local radio sustainable and a sustainable resource in Green and Columbia counties by contributing what you can to form a consistent base of support for the station. You can call 518-697-7400 and tell our volunteer what you would like to become, or you can go online and contribute at wgxc.org/donate.
Yeah, sustaining supporters are really wonderful, and we value them so much. And I actually decided to become a sustaining supporter. I was giving every pledge drive, and this was just a nice, easy way to just have a consistent, you know, every month a certain amount is taken out. And I also figured out I give $15 a month. Mm-hmm. And I realized at the time when I made my sustaining donor pledge, I realized I had a latte problem where I was buying a lot of lattes every week. And they're not cheap. They're not as cheap as coffee. And so I was like, you know what? If I just cut out some of those lattes and made a cup of tea instead or made a cup of coffee instead,
mm-hmm.
I could spare $15 a month. And it would not be a huge hassle for me. So I just get $15 taken out every month that goes to WGXC, which is, in my mind, a great cause.
That's like a good way to break a bad habit. Yeah. And also, like,
yeah, break donate. Your bad habits. Think of all the things that you spend money on that you could cut back on and just give that money to WGXC instead.
Coffee's all right. But
coffee's great.
Once in a while.
I still get a latte once in a while, but I
used, just not as often.
Yeah. I was like, this is something I could redirect those funds. Mm-hmm. Sorry, coffee houses. But WGXC is grand, and I'm proud to support WGXC and all of the wonderful radio that is on the airwaves. So yeah, we hope you will join in and become a sustaining donor. But we also are always open to donations, so if you're not sure you're ready to do a monthly commitment, you could also just do a one-time donation of any amount, 17 cents to $17 million.
Mm-hmm.
Anything in there is wonderful and welcome and helps WGXC stay on the air. So you can go to wgxc.org/donate, or you can call in at 518-697-7400 to make your donation with a human being on a phone.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can mail in a donation to WGXC, care of Wave Farm, P.O. Box 13 in Accra, New York, 12405.
Mm-hmm.
And WGXC is a program division of Wave Farm, and donations are tax deductible to the full extent of the law. Mm-hmm. So make your pledge and help keep us on the radio and help keep us talking about books instead of how to give us your money. Not that we actually get any money. Amelia and I make no money off the show.
We do it because we like it.
Yeah, we like talking about books. So yeah, so we're going to talk about books for a little bit, but then we'll be back in a little while to remind you about the wonderful pledge drive.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're listening to the podcast, you can pause us and make your phone call or make your payment.
Yeah.
Or, you know, bookmark the website.
You guys have the luxury of saving your spot while you do whatever you need to do.
Yeah. But yeah, so what have you been reading lately, Amelia?
I finished the latest Wings of Fire book, and the next one, I believe, is coming out next month, actually, I think. I don't have to wait as long as I usually do, because I went through this one slow, kind of for that reason, that I didn't want to have to wait several months. Mm-hmm. It was pretty good.
Yeah, and Wings of Fire is by Tui T. Sutherland?
Tui T. Sutherland, yes.
And is a fantasy series with dragon protagonists,
mm-hmm.
hence Wings of Fire.
Yes.
And this was the 12th book, I think?
Yeah, it was the 12th book.
So there's a lot out there, and Amelia's read them all so far.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool.
The graphic novels, too.
Yeah. Yeah, there's also, this is a chapter book series, but there's also graphic novel versions.
Yeah. That I can't wait for
only
the
a couple
third
of
book.
Those, though, right?
Yes, yeah. I can't wait for the third book to come out in graphic novel form. Because that's the one with, like, the chameleon-like dragons, and I can only imagine how pretty that's going to be able to see it and illustrated.
That's pretty cool.
That's probably going to be gorgeous. I can't wait. I really love the art in the books, too.
Nice. I have not read any of the Wings of Fire series yet. Oops.
I got my mom to read the first series.
Mm-hmm. The first series or the first book?
The first series.
Oh.
I want her to read the next series. Every so often I bring it up to her, and I'm like, hey.
And is it, they're wanna... in, this, each series is like three or four books?
Each series is five books.
Five, okay.
Each like arc.
Mm-hmm. So you're in series three now.
Yes.
That's dedication.
Mm-hmm. And it hasn't like dropped in quality a lot, like a lot of other books might have if you like went on that far, like the Warrior Cat books did by Aaron Hunter, who is a collection of people under the name Aaron Hunter.
So funny.
And Tui T. Sutherland was actually part of that little Aaron Hunter group,
really?
Too. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So it's no wonder why I like her writing so much. Mm-hmm. I knew it was similar to another book with non-human protagonists.
Yeah, I haven't read as many non-human protagonist books for youth, or I guess for adults for that matter either. There's a lot of them, though, and they're very popular, because there's Wings of Fire, there's Hunters, Warrior Cats.
There's also Seekers and Survivors, which is about dogs after humans have gone extinct, which sounds depressing, so I haven't read it. But I hear Seekers is pretty good. It's about bears.
Bears.
I think she came out with a new one about animals in Africa, like elephants and a cheetah and a monkey.
Whoa.
But
oh,
I don't
remember. Spirit animals, too.
Yeah, I don't remember what those are called. Mm-hmm. I don't remember what that series is going to be called.
But I love cat wings.
Mm-hmm.
You've talked about fire, but...
You've talked about cat wings before.
Well, cats with wings. I mean, it doesn't get much better than that.
No, it doesn't.
Awesome. Is there anything else you've been reading?
I want to start reading Six of Crows.
Yay.
Because I want to get back into another fantasy book.
Plus, we got to get ready for the battle.
Mm-hmm.
Battle of the books.
That too. And I also finished reading How To Kill a Mockingbird in school.
Did it get any better than the last time I talked
to you? I feel like the beginning and the ending were the best, and the middle was just not good.
Hmm. Interesting. Well, at least it had some good moments.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now we're watching the movie, which is great. I mean, it's less boring than having to read the book, but Atticus doesn't look at all how I imagined him to look.
Oh, really?
No, he doesn't look... Atticus Finch doesn't look at all like how I imagined him in the story.
I think because I knew about the movie before I read the book, I just always pictured him as the actor from the movie. So that's funny.
I didn't do that. I didn't want to look up any of the actors who played the parts.
Yeah.
I wanted to imagine them for myself.
I've been there. It's funny when you see a movie adaptation and everybody looks totally different than you would have pictured.
Yeah.
Or even that they're described sometimes. Mm-hmm. Cool. Well, I read a few books recently that I could talk about. The one might be tricky. I have to figure out how to talk about it. Oh. So there's 10 by Gretchen McNeil, which I listened to. And that's a YA mystery thriller, maybe sort of horror. I don't know. It's based on an Agatha Christie novel called And Then There Were None.
Ooh.
Where all these people are invited to an island and then slowly start being killed off. And except, so this one is a bunch of teenagers who go to an exclusive house party on this private island, and then people start to slowly die, and there's like a mysterious tape that they watch that is creepy and has a sinister message saying, vengeance is mine. And there's like a storm outside, and of course there's some time spent being like, wait, the phones don't work. Oh, maybe we can get internet. Nope, that doesn't work either. So there's a little bit of that.
I love those kind of like isolated like murder mysteries where the people have to like solve it themselves, and there's minimal to no like law enforcement or people who are actually authorized to do this kind of stuff. They're like stuck because there's a storm or they can't get a hold of anyone. I just love plots like that because it's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, so I mostly liked it. I read the Agatha Christie book back in high school, so a long time ago, and really loved it when I read it back then. And I think having read that gave me a slight spoiler on it, but not entirely. But I had like a slight idea of what might happen.
I watched the movie Murder on the Orient Express, and I knew how it ended because a Doctor Who episode spoiled it for me. A Doctor Who episode where they go back in time and live out an Agatha Christie-style murder mystery with Agatha Christie.
That's hilarious.
It's such a good episode. Once I watched the movie, The Murder on the Orient Express, I was like, oh no, I know how this ends because of that episode. Oh well. It's still good.
So this was, I wasn't totally spoiled on the ending, but I had a slight hint about something that might happen. Mm-hmm. And then my only other kind of complaint about the story was that I felt like there was like a romance mixed into it, and it felt a little bit forced given the circumstances of like people dying all around you.
That's the worst.
Like I'm kind of like, there's no time for crushes in romance.
I hate it when like in an action movie or a horror movie or like in a monster movie, but horror movies have it the worst when they try to force a romance into a horror movie. It almost never ever goes well, or a horror book or anything in those genres. It almost never goes well.
Yeah.
And it just feels bad.
I just feel like if anyone died around me, anyone, like it doesn't even have to be someone I like or know or care about, I would not be like, oh, hi. How
yeah.
Are you?
Yeah. It's
like trying to work on my crush.
It's like maintain the mood.
I don't know. So that felt a little forced to me, but it was still fun. It's a fun little mystery. Had a good sense of place. Like I felt very visual or something when I was reading it.
Yeah.
And then I read another creepy one.
Yay.
Which has a great title. And I also listened to this one. It's called Anna Dressed in Blood. Ooh. And it's by Kendara Blake. And it's about a teen named Cass Lowood who has inherited an unusual vocation from his dad, who's no longer with them. He kills the dead. So he and his mom kind of move around a lot, and they find ghosts, basically, that are, you know, still haunting places that are still, like, somewhat here. Ooh. And then he basically sends them off. Like, he basically kills the dead, if that makes sense. It's a weird...
I think I
get it. They're
already
dead, like, but he, like, really kills them.
It's
he
makes an exorcist-style situation.
And so he moves to this new town, and he's learned that there's this ghost that supposedly haunts the town that's called Anna Dressed in Blood.
Oh.
Because she apparently had been going to this dance. It was back in I think it was the 1950s, and had this apparently beautiful white dress. And then she was murdered. And when they found her body, she was covered in red blood. So her dress became red.
Ooh.
So that's why it's Anna Dressed in Blood. And so he's new to town, so he's trying to make connections so that he can do sort of his research and figure out stories about this ghost and better be prepared to find them and know how to help them move on. And in the process, he has an encounter with Anna the ghost, and things are not as straightforward as they sometimes are. I don't want to give too much away, but it's a very interesting story, and it's got some really like dark moments that I'm not used to reading in teen books, but that I don't think crossed a line or anything. But
it's interesting.
Like, oh, that's dark. And yeah, the writing was really good. The characters were great. He makes some interesting friends as well as some interesting enemies in the story. And Anna's an interesting character as well. So yeah, if you want like a little YA horror that actually has some solid writing and storytelling, it's a good one. And so I listened to that one as well, and I thought it was also a great audiobook. So yeah, Anna Dressed in Blood by Kendara Blake.
You just reminded me, I actually read that poetry book that I talked about a couple days ago.
Creepy poetry?
called How to Make Monsters Out of Girls. And it actually was a novel in a way. Like, all the poems did tell a story. Basically, the main character, who I think is called Monster Girl for most of it, she's the poet, she's the writer. She starts off the whole book talking about how she's writing this to get over someone, to help her move on. And then she goes on about this other character called Monster Boy. And basically the entire book is about an emotionally abusive relationship in poem and her getting over it. And the thing I like about this book is in the end, in the last chapter, she gets over it. She moves on. She leaves him behind, and she has a new and much healthier relationship with someone who understands her trauma. And it was really, really good. And I probably read it in just a few minutes because with it being a verse novel and it being that short, It was just easy to get through real quick. And it was really good.
Awesome. It was really pretty too.
It was. It had a gorgeous cover and it had gorgeous writing. Yeah, nice. It was really, really good.
Yay.
But the author's name isn't on it. I can't find it.
Hmm.
It has basically three parts called Monster Girl, Monster Boy, and, like, I think Sun Boy, who is, like, her new partner in the next, and when she's getting over her previous relationship, which was unhealthy.
Mm-hmm.
So it's actually really good and much better than I thought it was going to be.
Very cool. I think the only other book that I read recently that was sort of for the age range of our intended listeners, you know, sort of like teen or tween.
Yeah.
or adults that enjoy reading those books, is a comic book called Maneaters. And this is volume one, so it collects four issues of the Maneaters series. It's by Chelsea Kane with Kate Nimsik and Leah Mitternick. And this one, I believe, is nominated for an Eisner Award this year, which is why I picked it up. Mm-hmm. And basically the premise is that it's a world like ours, except that adolescent girls around the time that they start menstruating, some of them turn into flesh-eating wildcats.
Oh!
They just...
As you do.
Maul you.
Just as you do. Yeah. Okay.
And so there's a main character named Maud, who's 12, who is at that period in her life, and her dad's a detective, and I forget what her mom does, but her mom has something to do with, like, sort of hunting these cats as well.
Oh.
These wild cats that were once young women. And her parents are not together anymore, but they both are connected to these wild cat maulings. So her dad's busy investigating a new series of mauling attacks, and Maud, because she's going through this change in her life, is worried that what if she is the wildcat killer?
Ooh.
And one thing that's I really like about this comic series is that they have a lot of fake advertisements for products that are in use in this different world. So there's things about, like, shifting hormones to help protect boys and girls from these changes.
Oh, that's interesting. I love when stories like world build like that with this little, like, subtle. I like that so much.
And then actually, issue 4, I believe, in the volume, so it's like the last section of this volume, is a survival handbook called Catfight, A Boy's Guide to Dangerous Cats. And it has a mix of, like, articles and advertisements. So it's like this funny, weird.
This sounds really interesting.
Magazine about how to survive the wild cat attacks. But yeah, I'm excited to read more from that one.
Yeah.
So that's Maneaters by Chelsea Kane. All right. So we're just about out of time for today, but we hope everyone will call in and pledge your support to WGXC. Call 518-697-7400 or go online to wgxc.org/donate to pledge your support. And for those listening on Sunday, we'll be back in just a minute to talk some more. But for those listening on Thursday, we hope you have a good night.
Mm-hmm.
And a good week. Happy reading.
Bye. Welcome back. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, and Hudson, listener-supported radio for open ears. And I'm Emily, and Amelia's here as well. And we've been talking about some books and about the WGXC Pledge Drive, which is in full force right now. It's the Testify Pledge Drive. And our goal for this pledge drive is to secure 100 more sustaining supporters. So as of June 1st, we had 152 monthly sustainers who contributed an average of $13.95 every month, providing $2,120 in sustaining funds each month. And our goal is to have 5,000 a month in sustaining support. So we're hoping that people listening out there are willing to join us in pledging your support. A sustaining donation can be anything from 17 cents to $5 to $50 or more. And you can have it set up to come out of your account automatically. It's really easy to do. You can go on to wgxc.org/donate to find out more and to make your donation. Or call 518-697-7400 and somebody on staff would be happy to help you. Yeah, even small amounts help.
Mm-hmm. Every amount helps.
Every amount.
And also, if you're not ready to make a monthly contribution, we also do accept support of any amount at any time. And every donation helps to keep WGXC on the air, help us doing great things on the radio instead of just talking about money.
Yeah.
We don't like talking about money.
We
like talking about books.
Yes.
But we also like talking about WGXC because we love WGXC. And so we wanted to tell you all about our new slogan and new schedule.
Mm-hmm.
Got some changes.
yeah. WGXC has a new sound in conjunction with changes to the 90.7 FM program schedule. The station early this year adopted a new station slogan. You may have noticed, radio for open ears.
Whee!
7 days a week, WGXC's new schedule commits increased daytime hours to accessible sound and transmission, art, and entertaining experimental music. Local interview programs are brought to the foreground during expanded morning and afternoon drive programs, and evening programming features live performance from near and far. Mm-hmm. You can tune in for community talk in the morning from 4 a.m. to 11 a.m., including Democracy Now! With international news live at 8 a.m. Engineered for dedicated or casual listening, daytime experimental sounds now air from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. And WGXC's Stellar Afternoon Show lineup anchors the evening drive time block from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m., which includes special guest interviews, live call-ins, and more. Eclectic and specialized music and sound programming takes hold starting at 8 p.m., often featuring live broadcasts of performances at partnering venues in WGXC FM listening area and beyond.
And beyond.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a new schedule, too. So we used to be Monday afternoons at 3:30.
Yeah.
And now we are Thursday nights at 6:10, so just after the news block at 6:10. And then on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. So you can hear us at either time. Our Sunday broadcast is slightly longer than our Thursday broadcast. So you can take your pick, listen to our short version or a long version.
You could listen to both.
Or you can listen to both.
Repetition.
Repetition never hurt anyone.
Yeah.
Repetition never hurt anyone. And you can also, if it's hard to tune in at a set time and you really want to listen to us, you can also subscribe to our show through the WGXC website and have it downloaded as a podcast to your favorite podcast app.
Yeah.
And you can listen at your convenience whenever you so choose. You could even speed us up and make us sound really fast, or slow us down and make us sound very slow. I like a good 1.25 speed myself when I listen to my podcast. But yeah, so we hope everyone enjoys what they're listening to on WGXC. We certainly do. It's fun to turn on the radio and go to WGXC and hear local voices, hear interesting, unique music, hear ourselves sometimes.
Yeah.
That's always fun. It's like, oh, that's me.
That is interesting.
But yeah, so we hope that those listening out there will help keep WGXC on the air and focused on making great radio. So please contribute to the WGXC pledge drive by going online to wgxc.org/donate. Or calling 518-697-7400. If you're able to commit a certain amount each month to WGXC on a regular basis, we would love to have you join us as a sustaining supporter. Sustaining supporters give us that sort of guaranteed source of income every month that helps us stay focused on what's truly important, which is
books.
Books.
It just occurred to me that you maybe weren't talking about books. Yeah.
Everything. Well, for us, it's books. But for other radio programmers, it might be music, it might be news, it might be community events. But for us, let's face it, it's books.
I'm so sorry. I said that so sure that you were talking about books, and I don't know why. It was just in the moment. I was like,
No, it's true. Books are the most important thing, and that's all we want to talk about
all
day long.
For our show, at least.
Help make that happen. Visit wgxc.org/donate or call 518-697-7400 and pledge your support for community radio, for youth radio, for bookish radio, books, and all the wonderful things that we have on WGXC. And thanks, everyone, for listening. We'll be back next week with more books.
Yes.
Books. We love books. Well, we hope everyone has a great week. Reads lots of great books. Happy reading.
Bye.
Hi, my name is Josh Carter.
And I'm Emily Hill.
And I'm Jessica Dupine. Here's your Catskill News.
It's over.
I can't believe it. And I just started.
A huge thank you to everyone that has watched our program.
Oh, and those that have subscribed.
Thank you to Madison Campbell for hosting our news program and bringing it to a larger community.
For our radio show broadcasting at 98.5 and 102.9, we have been so appreciative that we are able to expand our broadcast in so many households.
We appreciate all of our community partnerships that supported and helped us increase our viewership this year.
I'm not sure what to say, and I just can't believe this chapter's ending. I know that through it all, my greatest critics were also my biggest fans and supporters, my parents. I'm here today finding my way, leaning on the support and love that you've given me. Mr. Hernandez muses about how I am so much like both of you. I just want to thank you for all the lessons, love, support, and really helping me to get to this place. Thanks, Mom and Dad.
Well, my transition from the first year to the second year has been seamless. Zane, I came to Catskill, you know, with 23 years of experience in education, majority of it spent in urban school systems, and it was very seamless. Our goals were met. Last year, we accomplished a lot. This year, we added our retired safety officers to ensure that school safety was the focus, and that for kids to focus on school and for teachers to teach and parents to feel comfortable with sending their children to school, you need to create a safe environment. So that was established. This year, our Catskill Elementary School is a school in good standing. We're no longer on the list for underperforming schools. So that was a huge accomplishment. And we credit that to our teachers, most importantly, our students for performing well. Also this year, the community approved a $40.8 million capital project. The capital project is very thorough. It addresses our infrastructure needs. It's going to improve learning spaces for students. We're creating a STEAM lab in the current middle school gymnasium, which is going to take the place of that. And we're going to create a new middle school gymnasium. Our athletic complex is going to have a makeover. Our parking lots at the elementary school, roofing, air conditioning in all of our classrooms and areas. So we have a thorough capital project that was approved by the community. Also, the community recently approved a $42.6 million budget so that we could operate the school district in a very prudent manner. So with this $42.6 million budget, we're going to have a lot of technology upgrades that's going to occur over the summer. Obviously, any type of repairs that need to be done, that will be done as well. This year, we're planning for the start of the capital project, so there's going to be a lot of sample testing in our buildings over the summer to prepare for next summer when the capital project will officially begin. So there's not going to be construction this year. Construction is going to start in July 2020. Our school district received a platinum status award for school safety by our insurance company, Unitron National Insurance. You know, great things are happening here in Catskill. I mean, when I first came, upon my arrival, I was told that the morale was down. We approved the morale. Our staff wants to be here. Our students want to be here. We have a lot of functions and opportunities and programs to engage our staff and our students in the community. We're good, but we're moving toward great. Overall, this has been a very successful school year. I want people to reflect on all the great things that have occurred. And for, you know, the 2019-2020 school year, you know, we're moving toward greatness. Everyone is really excited for great things to happen here for students in the Catskill Central School District. And I wish everyone nothing but the best. To our seniors who are departing, moving on to college and career situations, I wish them the best. They have worked extremely hard here in the district, and I know they will do great things in the community, and I know they will come back here to provide support and mentoring opportunities for our younger students.
Sign-ups for fall sports will be taking place this week at PE classes. Please stop at the nurse's office to see Ms. Hebb to sign up and start the process for medical clearance.
The makeup date for the special ed Q&A sessions with Dr. Brown is scheduled for Monday, June 24, 2018, 2:30 in the middle school auditorium and 3:30 in the CES library. Staff will have the opportunity to ask critical questions and receive answers regarding the direction of special education for the 2019-2020 school year and beyond.
Our Leadership Green Club was invited to be part of the grand opening parade and ceremony for the Cole House Alum Skywalk, and what an event it was. Dignitaries for the state, county, and village praised the contributions of the Alana Cole team on the completion of the project. Our students get involved in so many community projects. Just excellent stuff.
Students can stop down during a free period at or after school to sign up for summer school classes. Final registration is Wednesday, June 26th from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. in guidance.
Mr. Wemmett has served as our high school principal this year, and it was great to have him back in the district. His positive outlook and energy dealing with all the business of the school has brought us all a little closer, like a family.
Probably altogether, probably 5, 6, somewhere in that neighborhood. It goes too quickly.
Mr. Wemmett, we're going to miss you. We wish you would be staying, and we love you.
Just a very comfortable, warm feeling. Friendly atmosphere, good staff, great students.
Mr. Wemmett, thank you for all that you did for us this year. We love you.
We're going to miss you so much, Mr. Wemmett. Thanks for being here for us.
Take advantage of everything your school offers you, from academics to certainly sports, any clubs, music. The one thing I regret in school is not really getting that involved in music. It's a piece of my life I wish I could recover, because I think there's a great benefit and value to be in music. You get better appreciation for life. I think you're a lot more well-rounded individual. Sports kept me in school. I love sports. I love the competition. I love the camaraderie and the lifelong friendships you forge through that. And the other thing I would suggest, pay attention. This education is free. Once you're out of here, you have to start paying for your education. So if you can do any college coursework here, I would recommend that highly, because that will give you a leg up on other students that haven't had that opportunity here. We have a lot of opportunities here. And speaking of opportunities, we never had this kind of media opportunities that you folks have. So you guys have a leg up, even you holding that microphone. And you don't want to go on the air, but nevertheless, I appreciate you being here and for all you guys do. All right? All right.
You're a great principal. And you give good candy. Thanks.
We'll miss you.
Bye, Mr. Wemmett.
Everyone is gonna miss him, so.
Thank you, Mr. Wemmett, and good luck with your future plans.
We currently have coaching openings for the following sports: girls JV soccer, boys JV soccer, boys modified soccer. If you or anyone you know is interested in coaching, please contact Mr. Joyce, our athletic director.
Here's Daniel Leibowitz with Mr. Joyce and his athletic director's report.
Hi, my name is Daniel Leibowitz, and I'm here with Mr. Joyce to ask some questions about the brand new turf and middle school gym.
It's a pleasure to be here.
When can we expect construction to start on the new athletic facilities, including the gym and new turf?
Well, as everybody knows, the capital project was approved, and bids have gone out, and we're hoping to start some sort of construction towards the end of next school year.
With the new turf, will there be more available seating, such as bleachers or a stadium sort of thing?
Yes, the new capital project does call for new bleachers. They won't be like the huge bleachers you see on TV at football games or stuff like that, but they will be increased from what we have now.
How long will this project take?
Whew, with construction, it's tough to tell, but hopefully we can get it done somewhere around 2 years. Would be in optimistic timeline.
Will the football teams be moved here once we get turf? And if so, will we have our own team or will we still be merged with Carroll?
Well, that's something that we'll have to discuss with Carroll because our merger with them worked out very well. But it would be nice to have some games here on the turf. Whether it's our team alone or with Carroll, it would be nice to have some games here, yes.
If the football team does come, how will we manage scheduling facilities with other practices like soccer?
I don't think scheduling will be a big problem. There's plenty of time. And plus, most of the football games are on either Friday nights or Saturday afternoons, so that won't conflict with soccer too much. So I think we can work that out, and that's one of the joys of the job. You know, we're going to have a nice facility and get all our teams on it.
Finally, how exciting as an athletic director is it to see all the investments into our athletic program?
Oh, man, that's a great question. I think a capital project like this is an athletic director's dream. You know, you just get to see stuff that's brand new and stuff and see the kids enjoy it. You know, I can't wait to see the kids out there on the turf and in the new middle school gym being able to play multiple games in different gyms. It's a great thing for a Catskill and the community.
Great work, Daniel. And welcome to the Catskill News team. Such talent.
Congratulations to Ms. Zacchio and family. Luciano Robert Zacchio arrived weighing 8 pounds 4 ounces. Luciano and mom are doing great.
There's an August workshop for teachers to introduce coding with waste incorporated into your regular classrooms. Coding has become a relevant skill in the workforce today. Please see Mr. Bragg for details.
Ms. Doney's art class has designed and created a mural for a permanent installation at the Bronk House Museum over the last 4 weeks. It is a large-scale collaborative project across both the drawing and painting classes. The students worked in teams to paint 5, creating an autumn scene of the Catskills that would be backdrop for an antique carriage that the Bronk House wants to display as a part of one of their museum exhibits. We are so proud of their efforts and how they work together to complete this project. Another amazing Catskill community project.
Catskill Middle School May Student of the Month, Micah Dodig, received his award at a recent Catskill Rotary meeting. Congratulations, Micah.
It's WGXC 90.7 FM.
Right.
Accra.
Keep going.
Hudson, Catskill, Phoenicia, and lots of other places.
That's an interesting addition.
And Valencia.
And
or
Valencia.
As they usually call it when you first land in Columbia County.
Valati. Very well done. Did you mention the online way
and online at WGXC.org.
Yes.
Come on up and
tune in and turn out for a live broadcast, 5 to 7 p.m. Thursday, June 13th, during WGXC's Testify Pledge Drive from Prospect at Scribner's Catskill Lodge in Hunter. You can become a standing supporter at the door or increase your current monthly donation, and your first drink is on Scribner's. Beer and wine purchases during the event benefit Wavefarms WGXC 90.7 FM and the Testify Pledge Drive. Turn out, take in the view, check out this exceptionally designed and appointed spot at the Prospect at Scribner's Catskill Lodge in Hunter, and raise a glass for radio for open ears. Attendees are asked to make a sliding scale contribution, $5 to $10, or become sustaining supporters at the door. That's 5 to 7 p.m. Thursday, June 13th at Scribner's Catskill Lodge in Hunter.
I'm going to see if I can get one of my friends to come up here and testify for me. I'm talking about Raymond. I'm talking about Raymond.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by the Science of Aesthetics Laser and Med Spa, offering a wide variety of multifaceted cosmetic services at 810 Union Street in Hudson. Consultations are available. Information at 518-697-5390. And scienceofaesthetics.net.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Cornelia.